Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We bring you into the Kia Studios for our midday party, and my wife Charity just called me butthead. I'm just going to ignore the music that's being played right now.
Why are you playing this? It's not winning. It's not winning, Mark. Don't do this to us.
You guys are burying the lead. I just got called butthead by Charity.
Okay, what'd you do?
She's never called me butthead.
Mm-hmm. She ever called you Beavis?
She has not, although we're both big fans of that show.
Yeah, that's great.
You said get off.
That's how it's going to start on a Friday.
So she just texted me. Apparently, our 1.5-pound pug fell out of the bag that it was in and landed on the floor. I know. It sounds kind of...
Why was the dog in a bag?
I don't know. Like a travel bag, like a carrier bag, not like in a brown bag you get a Bud Light in.
Are his legs broke?
No, I mean, he's fine. She's fine.
Was he next to your pet peacock?
But the thing... We're going to get to that. Michael Rappaport's rant on peacocks. But so Shakti fell. Apparently Versailles, my veteran dog, heard a thud and came over to check on Shakti. So there's progress, right? And then Charity's like, Shakti's in Versailles' bed. Okay, so Shakti's this little 1.5-pound pug in a huge dog bed that's made for a, 80, 90-pound dog. And I'm like, well, why don't you just go get Shakti out of the bed and then encourage Versailles to come lay in his bed? Because, of course, Versailles is working with some jealousy here for the new dog in town. And then Charity shot back, I got this, butthead.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like, I don't need your advice and your counsel. I have this. So I got called butthead by my wife, so I'm off to a good start here today.
Don't you love when they do that to you? My wife did something to me the other day. I was like, hey, make sure you do this. She goes, no kidding. But if I have the GPS on that says turn right at the next street, you need to turn right. Yeah, Siri is telling me where to turn. I don't need Urania telling me. Your directions are awful. I know where I'm going.
Urania is a beautiful name, but it could be like the new competitor to Garmin and the other GPS companies, right? Hey, Urania, where should I go? It's 2775 Meredith Avenue,
right.
And
I'll be honest, her voice is better than what Siri or Waze or any of those trot out there.
A lot of times I tell Siri to shut up because she just talks too damn much, right? It's like, I get it. It's a mile and a half up, a mile and a quarter up, a mile up, three-quarter. Shut up. I get it. I'm in the right lane. I'm ready to go. Mark Owens is wearing a Waffle House fleece just for your boy. John has a customized 92.9 The Game hoodie. I have a Disco Biscuits hoodie on.
I was wondering what that was.
It's about 15 years old. This is a classic right
You know
here.
What it looks like? It almost looks like the Beats by Dre logo. Does he have a Beats by Dre logo hoodie on?
Or the Uber app.
It could be that.
Does
as
this
well.
Not look like the Uber app?
So if I come push your chest, will a car show
yes,
up?
In about 5 minutes. But, Emo, you've got the Waffle House fleece on. Why would that be?
Because of your absurd, stupid take on Waffle House. And we actually put that as one of our – real quick, because we're running out of time with this one. And we'll get back to the Waffle House in a second. You've got less than 15 minutes to vote. All right. On Fridays, we'll let
you
guys.
The show starts. It's Justin Timberlake.
No, because
dude, the show started.
No, stop. I'm still at 34% each. I'm refreshing right now.
It was 30.
No. We got to take this one to the wire.
Yeah.
We got to take this one to the wire.
Less than 15 minutes left. We let you guys pick the music on Fridays. What do you want to hear? In honor of the Super Bowl, we put up our Vision Computer Twitter poll. What are we going to play all day today? Justin Timberlake, because he's playing at halftime. Buffett and Florida Georgia Line, a mix, because that's the singing bet between you two knuckleheads. Pink, because she's doing the national anthem. Or EDM, because it never wins. It has been back and forth for almost 24 straight hours between JT and the mix of Florida Georgia Line and Buffett. So at Rick and John 929, at Rick and John 929 on Twitter, go vote for this. We're down to 13 minutes. So by the end of this segment, we'll have our eventual winner. Because as soon as 10 minutes ago, I looked at it and Buffett was winning. So I was pulling Buffett music. And then I walk in, and it looks like JT was winning. So it's back to tied at 34% apiece.
Well, you speak of the Waffle House sweater that Mark has on. I literally left here, and you had talked so poorly about Waffle House. I said, I've got to go get a sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich on Texas toast with a double order of hash browns covered. There's one right down the street from my house at Sugarloaf. I popped in there, picked up my to-go order, drove to the Speedway gas station right next to my home, picked up a 20-ounce Pepsi, and life was great at 3:05 in my household before the kids got home. The wife was off doing some real estate stuff. I had like 25 solid minutes of myself, Waffle House, and a Pepsi. It doesn't get much better than that.
And obviously, I'm on the completely opposite end of the spectrum. Preacher Man, I am 180 degrees on the opposite side of that. So we all have hoodies on today. Under Armour?
Signs point to yes.
Now, does it have the magical healing powers like Tom Brady's? Like, are you getting a chest massage while wearing that hoodie?
No, my dollars don't pay for that kind of accessory.
So how much for the hoodie with the recovery in the hoodie?
Oh, it's way out of my price range.
It's because it's steroids and it's cheating, and that's what Tom Brady's doing to make his right thumb that much better for the Super Bowl. Do we have to talk about the Super Bowl today?
Nope.
We don't have to.
A little bit. I do have a prediction. I do have a final score. I'm ready to, in the next segment, we are going to deliver our final score.
Hey, you're picking blowout.
On the Super Bowl. I am. I mean, it's blowout-ish. I'm not picking 50-10, okay? I'll give you that. But I will be picking the New England Patriots by more than 2 touchdowns. So stay tuned for that call.
Okay.
Because that's what's up.
What the
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Well, we'll start with an Atlanta Falcons angle to this Super Bowl. Falcons obviously lose a year ago 28-3 lead to the New England Patriots, lose the Super Bowl in overtime. Well, Arthur Blank apparently was asked about the Super Bowl rings that the New England Patriots put on there. Again, that has 283 diamonds in there. During a recent interview with the New York Times, Arthur Blank said that the ring, quote, pissed him off. I said to Robert, you didn't have to do the 28-3 in the ring. It kind of pissed me off. I'll be honest, it should have, and it should make you mad that the team blew a 28-3 lead, and we've chronicled that for a year. We were all upset. You had your chance at a little bit of redemption back in October, didn't take care of business there, didn't get the second shot in the Super Bowl. I'm a little surprised that Arthur Blank took the bait on this because this isn't something that Mr. Blank typically does.
If I were an advisor to the great Arthur Blank, I would have advised him to keep it moving, and I would advise him to leave this alone. And I just want to leave it at that. I don't think this is a great look for our owner, and I love our owner. I wish he hadn't said this.
I totally agree with it.
That's all I gotta say.
It's one that we you know, kind of wish wouldn't have been said, and unfortunately it becomes a national story because it is Arthur Blank, and it is the Super Bowl, and it includes the Patriots.
Now, to Arthur's point, it's petty as hell.
Oh, of course
it is. It's over the top. It's abundantly petty. It's ridiculously petty, but they got the bragging rights as much as it sucks, and I would have left it alone.
I'd love – Arthur Blank has been fired up this past year. He had the tiff with Jerry Jones.
That was awesome.
He obviously now probably doesn't particularly care for Robert Kraft, which none of us do. I'd like to see Arthur hit him with a right cross. Hey, take this. Go get like a bucket of grout and just pour it on the head of Robert Kraft.
There's a better chance of that happening than Floyd Mayweather entering the octagon to fight Conor McGregor. That's what's not happening.
It might happen.
No way.
We never thought they'd fight in a boxing
stop
ring.
Stop it. Floyd knows that he would take a savage beating in the octagon. He knows that. There's a 0x0x0% chance of this happening.
Hey, what's the chance of Rob Gronkowski playing in the Super Bowl?
100%.
Yeah, he's cleared. Shocking that the concussion protocol
Gronk
comes
cleared.
To an end. I play bull. Let's go, Gronk.
You know he's going to have a monster game.
Of course he is.
7 for 97 and a
two
touchdown
scores.
Or two or
yeah.
Whatever. He's going to have a big old game, y'all. And think about it. Amendola. You've got Brandon Cooks is the deep threat. You've got these backs and White and Lewis. John, it does not – Burkhead as well. It doesn't matter with Tom Brady. Literally, they could, like, reshuffle the deck every year and bring in new guys every year. It'd be 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns. He's amazing.
He is. He is fantastic.
I hate him, but he's amazing.
Yeah, me too. How did you feel about this, Rick? I know you're an NBA guy, and I've got some strong opinions on this. The big headline is Russell Westbrook shoves fan who confronts him on the court. Fans don't belong on the court. You run up in the face of a player – I'm sorry, you're lucky you only got shoved. Get your ass off the court.
So it was pretty amazing to me that the fan that was on the court had bigger man boobs than Bill Belichick. And if you watch the video on it, Russell Westbrook with his left hand completely gets a handful of this guy's right man boob and then shoves him. It's really quite the scene. You need to see the video. You'll hear Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller on the live call for TNT. And really what it does is it spoils an epic walk-off game-winning shot by Gary Harris, hitting a three to beat OKC in one of the NBA games of the year. I mean, the stats in this game. Russell Westbrook had 20-plus assists in this game. George went 40-plus. Jamal Murray was nuts as well. Great game. But, John, to your point, this guy looked like he was in a front row seat. And when you're in a courtside seat, you are virtually on the court. And when you stand up and then leave, you're kind of like straddling the court. So I don't think it's like this guy came from row 18 down to the court. But I'm not justifying what the fan did, because Russell Westbrook is that guy. Mm-hmm. And nobody's more ferocious than him. And he's ticked off that they just lost in 3-2-1. Now he's got this big barrel-chested guy right in front of him taunting him. Of course he's going to get shoved. As Reggie Miller said perfectly, the fan is lucky he didn't get punched in
absolutely.
The face by Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and if he would have got punched in the face and everybody said, oh, Russell Westbrook's in the long.
I would have been fine with it.
There's a line of demarcation. I get what you're saying. I've been lucky enough to sit courtside a time or two at a Hawks game. There's a line that's the out-of-bounds line. Don't cross that line. Stand up, turn to the right, walk down the line, stay on this side, leave the players alone. Like, fans have started to think, hey, I paid my money, I can do what I want.
No doubt.
The next time, and the malice at the palace was wrong, but part of it was facilitated by fans throwing stuff at players.
How similar, do you remember when the fan confronted Jermaine O'Neal, and Jermaine O'Neal threw one of the biggest bombs of a punch in human history?
And missed.
And Jermaine slipped as he was throwing the punch. Otherwise, he might have killed this guy.
Yep.
But it really reminded me of that scenario. And good on Russell Westbrook not to snap and throw a punch. Just shove the guy and cooler heads prevail. But I would not have been mad at Russell Westbrook if he punched that fan. But obviously, that would have been a much dicier situation.
Hey, elsewhere, speaking of some good news from the NBA, they announced the slam dunk at three-point contestants. The three-point contest is going to be great. Eric Gordon, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Tobias Harris, Paul George, Wayne Ellington, Kyle Lowry, and Klay Thompson. Over on the dunk side, they got some guys that can get up, Ricky Pipes.
I'm liking it. I'm really intrigued about this dunk contest. Oladipo, Aaron Gordon, Larry Nance Jr., and Dennis Smith Jr. I'm calling my shot right now. The bouncy rook from Dallas is winning the dunk contest, Dennis Smith Jr., and I got Klay Thompson for the win in the three.
I'm going to go with Oladipo and Wayne Ellington.
Make it Wayne.
Shocking, I would take Wayne Ellington. We'll take a break. We come back. We want your predictions on the Super Bowl. Who's going to win the MVP? And we'll give you a score as well, and Rick's going to sing Jimmy Buffett. That's coming. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We do have some fake breaking news, Rick Kamla.
And what is that?
The Vision Computers Twitter poll is done. The musical selection for the day was being voted on. Mark Owens, you have it back there. What would we pick, or what would our fans pick for the musical selection of today?
So for the past 24 hours, your option have been Justin Timberlake because he's playing at the halftime. Jimmy Buffett and Florida Georgia Line, a good mix because these two knuckleheads are singing. That's their bet for the Super Bowl. Pink because she's doing the national anthem. And EDM, trance, and house just because it never wins. And this has been going back and forth, especially between JT and the Buffett and Florida Georgia Line mix. But ladies and gentlemen, your winner at the very last minute.
Yes! Yes!
Really?
Yes!
Upset fashion. Justin Timberlake, a comeback.
Kind of
like those guys.
We literally had 45 votes in the last 1 minute. The last 1 minute of the voting, 45 votes, swayed the Justin Timberlake
John,
side.
It feels, it's never felt better to be with Camp Michaels, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm really neither of these camps. I obviously can't stand Florida Georgia Line and Jimmy Buffett. I'm okay with Justin Timberlake. He's not my jam, but it's amenable to me. It's tolerable to me. That other crap is not. So I'm with Camp Michaels right here. Very excited that. So are we playing his new stuff from the album that just
dropped? All Justin Timberlake today. It's just all.
Tell me what. When a new song comes on, tell me, hey, this is off the new album, because I have no idea.
I will do that.
The only song I know by him is the one he had a suit on or something, a tuxedo suit.
You never heard this?
I've heard this, yeah. What's the name of this song?
Rock Your Body.
I've heard this song.
You're going to hear the music Mark plays. You're going to go, oh, I know that one. Oh, I know that one.
Have I ever dissed Justin Timberlake one time? I have not.
I'm just saying you'll realize you're going to hear a lot of it and go, I forgot that was Justin Timberlake.
Like this song, yeah, this is sort of, when I think of Justin Timberlake, I think of this song. So shout out to the ladies, okay? Because the ladies listening right now do not want to hear Florida Georgia Line or Jimmy Buffett. They want to hear Justin Timberlake.
No,
so
they don't.
Shout out to the ladies. What
the
are you talking
about?
The
ladies and John Michaels.
Well, me too, yeah.
You think that ladies would rather hear Florida Georgia Line and Jimmy Buffett?
Hell no.
Okay, so.
They'd rather hear Pink, but Pink only got like 9% of the votes.
Yeah, Pink's not that.
Final results were Justin Timberlake 36%, mm-hmm. Buffett and Florida Georgia Line 35%,
yes.
EDM and trance.
Yes.
It didn't come in last.
Where did EDM finish?
19% of the votes.
That's good.
Because
yeah.
Apparently there was an EDM DJ that picked up on our tweet and retweeted it to all the EDM DJ family, and then Pink at 10%.
But that could be a contributing factor, but Pink sucks. So I think that's another factor that goes, she pretty much sucks. Do you like Pink?
Some of her stuff, I'm not going out to buy a Pink album.
So, do you ever like it when you're on it? It says, "John, play DJ." I love it when Charity does that because I mean it's on and popping, like for real. But when she says, "John, play DJ," do you ever rock a Pink song?
No.
Okay. So,
but she doesn't suck. I just don't listen to her. It's not really. It's not one that I'll throw. Like the some of her
is this
musical
Pink right here.
No, this is Justin Timberlake.
All right.
Justin Timberlake won. You never heard this one before?
Mm-mm. Yeah, this is that R&B stuff.
Timberland came with one of the great beats in musical history with this.
I'll give you that, but I don't agree. This is I'm not really a big fan
of this. I bet
you
Charity
one.
Likes this one.
I guarantee Charity likes this one.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. She likes all these jams. I want to hear Drake's new album. He's got a new album out?
I don't think it's out yet, but it's coming. Because he's
like
dropped
Drake.
A couple of singles already.
I like Kendrick Lamar. I like that dope, thought-provoking hip-hop, man. This R&B stuff's missing me, bro.
You don't want any trap music? You didn't get Culture?
I like trap music.
You didn't get Culture 2 by the Migos? That came out last week.
Good call. I should fire it up on iTunes.
I've already got it.
Next time Charity says, put some music on. Because, John, you know what that means, right?
What's that? That means it's Nookie time.
Yes, it does.
By
eventually.
The way, Urania got so, speaking of music, and we'll talk Super Bowl here in just a second. Speaking of music, Urania got so mad at me yesterday. So I had to build some nightstands. We had ordered some nightstands from Amazon. So I figured I'd be good hubby, build them. It took like 45 minutes each. But when I'm doing that, I'm in the room by myself, so I've got music playing. I put on the old school R&B mix, and I'm finishing off the second nightstand, and she walks in and goes, "Can you please turn off the music? This is awful." It's playing some old R. Kelly, like Sex Me or something like that. And she goes, "I let you listen to this for an hour." I said, "You were downstairs. You didn't let anything happen. I'm up here building stuff."
She's actually right. That music does suck.
No, no, it doesn't. It sets the mood. It's a mood setter.
Real quick.
So does Queens of the Stone Age if you're with the right crowd.
Your top five, because we have named, three or four different artists in the past couple of minutes, and you've said the same phrase, that sucks.
That sucks.
They sucks.
They suck.
She sucks.
Yep. They
that
all
music
suck.
Kind of sucks. So give me your Mount Rushmore of the Four Horsemen of your favorite artists of all time that, in your words, are gangster and do not suck.
Okay, I mean, you got it. Next segment. I'll start the slice of life with that.
You can't do four off
the
top of your head.
Okay, I'll go Jerry Garcia. I'll go Jimi Hendrix. I'll go Mark Brownstein. And I'll go Eddie Vedder. I mean, that's just off the top of my dome. But there's millions of others that I could choose. So.
Okay, no, I'm just curious because we've named four or five different artists from different genres, and they've all sucked. So I wanted to see what, in your mind, doesn't suck.
All the stuff I just mentioned. Rock and roll. John, I want to make a point about MVP here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tom Brady's going to win, but Tom Brady should not win. I have a poll up right now. Google me. So it's at Rick Camel. Okay, just Google me.
At MLS Rick.
Check me. Go to Twitter, Rick Camel. You'll find me.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady did not have a vintage year. Okay,
no.
He did lead the NFL in passing yards at 4577. But he did not lead the league in passing touchdowns with 32. Wentz had more, despite far few games, at 33. And Russell Wilson led the league with 34 TD passes. That's a bad year for TD passes in the NFL, if the leader at 33. Typically, it's 40, 41, 43, and that kind of thing. So how can we give Tom Brady the MVP award in a non-signature season? Oh, he's 40, so that means he's the MVP? Come on. And by the way, you got Belichick, you got the great systems on both sides, and you have a wash, rinse, repeat team and situation. Todd Gurley, on the other hand, would have led the NFL in rushing if they would have played Week 17.
Mm-hmm.
He had 1,305. Kareem Hunt had 1,327.
Right.
So he would have led the league in rushing. He had 19 total touchdowns, by far the most, and he would have gone 20-plus had he played in Week 17. And, John, he led the NFL in yards from scrimmage at over 2,000, again, with one fewer game than Le'Veon Bell. So I think Todd Gurley is the hands-down, no-brainer, no-debate MVP. And I'll give you the results. You know, my poll's up right now.
MVP comes out today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
yeah.
At the NFL Awards show. I don't know what network it's on, but, you know, lots of hotties, NFL players in suits, that kind of thing.
That came out, I'm trying to remember, while we were on the air last year on that Saturday or right after?
It was right after.
Right after.
We were on our way to the party.
That's right. We were going to the day party / night party, and then we found out Matt Ryan was the MVP. So tomorrow, I agree. I think Todd Gurley should win it. I don't think Todd Gurley will win it. Todd Gurley... When do the vote? The votes go in at the end of the season. They don't go after the playoffs.
They do not.
Okay.
Regular season only.
So that could have a factor in it because the Rams, you don't factor in the fact that they lost the very first playoff game, obviously, to our Falcons. I just think name recognition, the fact that Tom Brady is at the end or perceived getting towards the end of his career, he's going to win it. And there's a lot of people that thought he should have won it last year over Matt Ryan, and maybe this will be the autocorrect.
Everybody who thinks Tom Brady is retiring wants Tom Brady to retire. That is not the conversation that's being had with Tom and Giselle right now, I don't think. Do you think? I don't. Tom Brady says, I have no plans of retiring. I believe him. I think Tom Brady loves this. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, it doesn't throw the age out of it. It doesn't matter. The guy's in the MVP discussion, right?
Yep.
So why would you retire?
I'm not saying he's going to retire.
No, I know, but there are people who are like wondering if he's actually going to. Why are people wondering that? There's been no indication at all. The only people thinking about it are people who want him to retire. And I want Tom Brady to retire. So the rest of us have a shot at a Super Bowl, but I don't think he's going to.
I think the only way he would retire, and this is just pie in the sky, they win Sunday, they go beat Philadelphia, and him and Belichick sit down and go, we're done. Both of them together walk away.
And you know that's not
happening. And it's not going to happen. Bill Belichick's got way too much of an ego to go, all right, I'm done. And all the flirtation with the nonsense with the Giants, that was all just made up media crap. Bill Belichick wasn't ever thinking about going to the Giants. Wasn't going to happen.
I got to shout out our guy Hugh Douglas for the backiotomy, but I'm going to use his phrase here. The only way Tom Brady retires is if Fletcher Cox gives Tom Brady a backiotomy and he, like, severs a vertebrae or something like that. And I wouldn't be that angry about that, but certainly not cheering for it. Let's give him some Super Bowl predictions, brother.
While I do not think it'll be a blowout, I do think the Patriots will win this game. I think they win 23-20 is the final that I have on board. And I'm going Rob Gronkowski for the MVP. I think Gronk gets in the end zone twice.
Really?
That'll be 14. They kick three field goals. It's 23-20. I think the Patriots win. I don't have a rooting interest. I know for the purposes of our show wager, I would like the game to be close. I wouldn't even be mad if Philadelphia won for Hugh Douglas because I like Hugh. I want to see him be able to celebrate. I know what that means to Eagles fans, but I do think the Patriots are going to win 23-20. And Gronk MVP, party Vegas now.
Super quick before I give you my prediction.
No shirt.
The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry. Mm-hmm. You remember we played the sound of his. Well, I watched the video yesterday, John, and I thought that it was one of those mistakes, like he got caught with his mic up, but no. I watched the video. That was definitely planned by the gangster mayor of Minneapolis to have this really sappy thing about how great Minneapolis is and welcome Patriots and Eagles fans and then get off the air and immediately throw a cuss word and hate at Philly. This was meant to be. This was orchestrated.
Hi, I'm Jacob Fry. Are we seriously welcoming the Eagles fans?
That is awesome.
So the reason it's orchestrated is after he's done with the nice little thing with the violins, it goes to color bars, and then it cuts to him doing that. So that took production to actually put that in there. It was intended. John, I have 31-16. I'm giving Philadelphia one touchdown, three field goals. Mm-hmm. I think New England's defense is just a little bit better than our Falcons. I don't see Nick Foles beating Tom Brady. 31-16.
Who's the MVP?
Tom Brady.
Okay.
I mean, right.
It's hard to bet
against
them.
I'd like to be bold, but you know how they roll with Super Bowl MVP.
I just want to see Gronk's MVP party in Vegas.
Be awesome.
Mark, we'd go to Vegas for that. Like me and you in a plane, just out of here, listening to Justin Timberlake the entire way. Hey, Slice of Life coming up next. You know what it is on Friday. Ask us something about anything with Rick and John on Middays, hashtag trademark. Text or call 404-741-0929. Whatever you want to ask, we'll answer. Just don't ask us athletic questions because none of us are. That's next.
It is the Slice of Life from the Kia Studios. Rick Kamla and John Michaels here in the Slice of Life, brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. John, before we get to the slice, I want to give people the very early results on my poll about the MVP for the NFL.
Okay.
John and I both think that Todd Gurley should be the MVP. Many are just going to go ahead and hand the vote to Tim Brody. That's what I've got. It's not Tom Brady, it's Tim Brody on my Twitter account. It's Gurley, Tim Brody, Carson Wentz, and other. 77% for Gurley, 16% for Wentz, 4% for other, 3% for Tim Brody. I love the way this poll is going so far.
All right, we have got a lot of texts and callers online, so we're going to get right to it. Just ask us about something or about anything with Rick and John. Middays on 92.9 The Game, hashtag trademark. Let's get to this one. Where was it at? Oh, I had a really good one, and now I lost it. There's so many that have come in. This one's for me. John, if you ever wore a do-rag? Yeah, I'm not really proud of it, but I did. There's times.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
I actually used to have hair, and yeah, I wore a do-rag before.
Preacher Man, M.O., ever rocked a do-rag? It's pretty obvious that I never did with my white man hippie mullet from back in the day.
Mark, you ever rocked a
do-rag?
He's
just shaking his head.
I mean, I'll rock the hell out of a sweat towel, but that's about it.
He's got his Waffle House fleece on.
What?
It's very yellow.
You can see a picture of it. We posted a picture of
very,
it.
Very, very
Rick and
yellow.
John 929. I know people were like, dude, are you wearing tech gear today? And you just turn around and see the Waffle House logo, and it's like, nice.
My Disco Biscuits hoodie is so much cooler than that.
That is actually a cool hoodie. They have a nice logo.
I keep looking up thinking it's Beats.
That's what I thought. It looks like a Beats by Dre. I'm just waiting for you to come out with some wireless headset. All right, Sandy texts in and says, which one or any of you guys get a mani-pedi? I don't ever get the manicure aspect of it. I sent a picture to you guys last week.
Paul,
I was getting a pedicure.
We'll just bow out of this conversation, right?
You guys don't get pedicures?
Nope.
So your feet are like eagle claws.
I don't know about all that. I do have like a weird skin formation on each big toe. So it's ask us anything. Ew. I mean, it's not like hideous. It's not like, ew, put shoes on.
Toe coming in?
Nah, it's just a little weird deal. I don't know.
Go get it. Look. Dude, look. I got no problem. I've never done a manicure. I've got no problem with the pedicure.
Yeah, I don't do the manicure.
Before you go into the beach?
Yeah.
I don't want these nasty.
All right, let's
go. No.
You tell me.
Terry Fox.
No. Those you are tell Rick's. Me if this is gross. That right there. I'm
yeah, that's pretty disgusting. And you've got inner skin growth. You've got inner skin growth in between
your
toes.
What in the hell are you talking about? Inner skin growth.
Dude, you definitely need a pedi.
You've got finger toes.
Yeah, you got like some stuff in between your pinky toe and that other toe.
You know what long toes means?
You've got some
big feet?
No, you've got some Disco Biscuits in between those toes.
Preacher Man, you don't do the pedicure?
I haven't. I'm not opposed to it.
No, okay. I do the calf rub.
I ain't mad at nobody. When do I have time?
You always can make time. Always make time.
Not the Preacher Man. Not the chauffeur back there. He doesn't have the time.
All right, here's one. And this one's going to be a little bit a little tough to answer. If you had to date somebody's wife at the station, who would you pick?
I'm out.
Next question.
Yeah, please. We're not doing that.
Dylan says this. Give us a story about the craziest girl y'all ever dated. Next question.
Oh, let me think.
Hasn't Mark already done that one on the air before?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she was a Spanish girl, too.
They all lives here, too. I know two of them are fan of the show.
The only thing I can tell you on this, I had a one-night stand in between the first regime and Charity, and about 4 days after the one-night stand, she texted me looking for me to help her pay rent. That was kind of the craziest scenario I ever dealt with.
Oh, how about this one? Rick, have you ever been in a mosh pit?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You're a mosher?
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but, like, I can remember being at Fishbone shows, which is some great ska. It's soulful. It's R&B. It's funky. It's rock and roll. It's beautiful. But they get a mosh pit going. But it's softer. It's not like this hardcore heavy metal mosh pit where you're literally worried about getting stabbed or shivved or something. You just kind of jump up and you bound off of people, and it's fun. But I've been in a mosh pit.
This one. John, if you were offered a full scholarship at FS Pooh or a truck driving position, what would you choose? Oh, I'd be driving the hell out of a truck. Actually, truck driving is a one of the high-profile majors at Florida State.
Let me go back to that real quick. So, John, there was it took me back to a lot of parties, a lot of shows. I saw Fishbone at the Fox Theater in Boulder, Colorado. It was such a rowdy show, and I went there so often I felt like I owned the place. I actually got on stage and dove into the crowd off the stage at a Fishbone show. That's one of my great rock and roll memories.
Here's a great question.
And they caught me.
What's the best place that you guys have gone to that you weren't supposed to be, but you kind of acted like you were supposed to be there? Like something you've done where you're not supposed to be there, but you were there.
It's almost too complicated. I don't know.
See, I've got a great story.
What
Paulie
do you got?
D DJ'd here at Opera, and you know how they have the DJ set up kind of up top? Me and my friends somehow convinced the people that we were with Paulie D. So it's like Paulie D, a couple of his Jersey meathead buddies, and then me and my meathead friends. And the Jersey guys are looking like, I don't think these guys are supposed to be here, but we just had fun. And every girl's like, you're with Paulie D. Yes, I am. I'm going to fist pump my little rear end off.
I don't have a story like that.
I talked my way into, I told you this story, over the summer, wanted to go see Vegas, to go see Brooks and Dunn. I wasn't happy with my seat, so I talked my way into a suite that had an open bar. So in Vegas, to see my band, Brooks and Dunn, with an open bar in a suite. Perfect. Didn't cost, that suite probably would have cost about $500 per ticket. Yep, talked my way in there.
That's what you got to do sometimes. Take a couple of calls here. 404-741-0929. Brandon's got a question for Ask Us Anything About Something, hashtag trademark, whatever it may be. Brandon, what you got?
Guys, what is the hardest you ever partied and either passed out, blacked out, and woke up the next day and thought, what happened and what was her name? Roll Tide.
I've got
the Tool concert.
Really?
The Tool concert.
Did you have to come into work?
Yes.
That was before me.
Okay, I got home from the Tool concert.
That was midday host number two.
Oh, my God. I was backstage with Tool Man and drinking ginger beer and Grey Goose and way too much of it. I had to ride home, so don't worry about that. John, I got home, and I was, like, bounding off of walls leading into my bedroom. Didn't make it to the bedroom. I made it to the guest bedroom and sort of went through the door. There was a big pile of dirty clothes on top of the bed in the guest bedroom. I landed on that and woke up.
Nice.
It was like that. And actually, when I got out of the car, I actually fell. Like, as I started walking to the house, I fell. I was on one that night, and that hangover the next day was legendary.
Mine was, I don't know what it was. We had a day party at the old station and then went out that night to the world-famous Club 112. So I had been getting it in for the better part of like 16 hours. I don't remember getting home. I didn't drive. I was riding with somebody. Got home. I had to host a show the next morning. I had to do this cockamamie fitness show, which is hilarious, me doing a fitness show. This will tell you how hammered I was. I woke up that night at about 8 o'clock. I didn't remember getting up, going and doing. I thought I had gotten fired. I said, oh, God, I missed my show. I'm calling people like, dude, did I make it? They were like, hey, you did the show. You looked fine. That's how out of it I was. I literally, 24 hours passed, I didn't know where I was. Pretty bad. Long time ago.
I'm not proud of this one because it was recent. About 10 years ago, I was still dating my wife. But I'd already asked her parents for permission. So we go to one of her best friend's wedding, and at the reception, get a little overserved, and by a little, I mean we're doing those pineapple-infused vodka shots like it was
swinging.
Water. By the end of the night, I'm walking around to all of her best friends going, I was going to ask Gretchen's parents if I can marry her. I'm going to propose to her this summer. Shh, don't say anything. They tried to put me in a cab, and I fought my way out of it. Next thing I know, woke up the next morning at my house still in my suit.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm not proud of it, but she still said yes.
So. Because you're the man with a Waffle House fleece on.
I think this one ought to be fun. Who's the worst interview you guys have ever done? Worst interview?
It's a tie. JaVale McGee, DeMarcus Cousins, and Udonis Haslam.
UD?
Awful.
Really?
Awful. They don't want to do it. They give you the shortest answers possible. So in other words, John, you say, you know, man, what a game tonight. You had 15 and 10. Just a thrilling crowd. Great atmosphere. You know, your thoughts on that?
It was a good win.
Okay, well, you know, that moment at the end of the game, you know, the and one to put you up four, it seemed like kind of a momentum-turning play.
Yeah, it worked.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, those three guys in particular,
really?
they don't want to be there. They give you short answers, so that's it.
Mine's simple, and it's from the complete opposite end of it. Rick Bucher. Arch Bell and I had an interview with Rick Bucher. I swear on everything. One question took about 9.5 minutes for him to answer. Arch took his headset off and was doing jumping jacks. I was doing push-ups, and you know Mike Bell when he gets impatient. The hands are swinging back. Two questions in 16 minutes to Rick Bucher. I have no idea what he said ever. It was horrible. Mark Owens, worst interview.
Two of them, old pop station I was working for, Avril Lavigne. pop star.
Really?
Yeah, she was in studio, just came in. This one, she was going through her goth phase.
Oh.
So she sat on the couch, head down, and just complained the whole time. Another surprisingly bad interview at the time, Venus Williams.
Really?
This is right as the Williams sisters were on the rise up. We had her on, all one-worded answers, cut the interview short. Her dad called our producer back, complaining that we were mean to her.
Preacher Man, worst interview you've been a part of?
Well, there's been a few, but one that's memorable on this station, you know, you don't get hung up on by many people, but when you're talking to Mike Ditka, and he hangs up on you because you're asking him the most ridiculous questions ever, and he's getting tired.
That's what I do. That was awesome, by the way. I asked him if he was if he wanted a shot at Mike Tyson for stealing his nickname, Iron Mike, and Ditka didn't like that. And it was pretty much drop the mic and a dial tone after that. But that's one of the proudest moments of my life.
There's a lot of good ones still coming
in. Hey, John, super quick. Tommy Heinsohn one time called me a loser live on NBA TV.
Really?
For asking him the wrong question. Another thing I'm very proud of.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue to answer some of these questions at 404-741-0929. Also, we're going to play the Rick and John drinking game. What will get you hammered at the Super Bowl? We've got some props that you need to pay attention to. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, Coach, let me ask you another question here. Are you mad at Mike Tyson for stealing your nickname Iron Mike, and do you want a piece of him?
No, I don't want a piece of him. I'm not mad at him. I like him, and God bless him. But I got to go now, you guys. You're killing me.
Coach, I appreciate it. Have a great week down there, and thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 to 7.
All right, we got a good bit for you right here. Justin Timberlake playing the Super Bowl, of course, and thank God he won our Twitter poll over Florida Georgia Line and Jimmy Buffett and that garbage. So we'll be hearing Justin Timberlake all day. But we got a good little bit here. We're going to carry over the say, ask us something about anything unextraordinary or whatever the hell that thing is called. We're going to play a little game. We're going to give you drinking game props.
Yes.
And I've got several. John's got several. So we're just going to bing around a little bit, try to make you laugh, try to look at the Super Bowl a bit sarcastically, John.
Yeah.
We did give you our final score on
the
game. I feel like we should reiterate it for the hardcore sports nuts that can't wait to watch this awful, dreadful football game. 31-16 Patriots is my call.
23-20 Patriots. And that's my call. And I've got Gronk winning the MVP. But we want to get back to some of the Ask Us Anything before we get to the Rick and John drinking game for the Super Bowl. We've had a guy on hold wants to ask us a question. So, Josh, fire away here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good. John, do you think that The Miz is the most underappreciated superstar in WWE history? Thank you.
Boy, you know what? Yes. This is a guy that was laughed at when he originally tried out for Tough Enough because he was a reality star. And now all of a sudden, he's headlined a WrestleMania. He's been a multiple-time champion. Nobody still appreciates The Miz, though. And he's the guy, Mark, right now.
Who's The Miz?
Mike, was it Mike Mizanarian? He was on Real World way back in the day.
He was on Real World.
And then he was on
Road Rules Challenges and all that stuff.
I actually didn't care. I just felt like interjecting that.
And he's got a – you ought to look up his wife, Maurice.
Okay, I'll look that up. Early research material.
Yeah, Maurice. Maryese, I think.
WWE Maryese.
Yeah.
She'll come up. If, if you're a WWE fan, you like The Miz, they just debuted that new special, WWE 24 Orlando.
You said it's really good.
Taking a look at WrestleMania from last year in Orlando, and they spent some time on The Miz and her, and it's pretty good. It'll give you respect for him a little bit. You know, my answer to that is Dolph Ziggler. Been around forever. Really good wrestler. But they haven't really done much with him, and now he's kind of fading into the mid-card.
Yeah, he is. You don't like Maurice?
A little bit of a man face. A little man face thing going on here.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah, she's high.
Couple other ones, and Paul's written some of these down in the back, some of the Ask Us Anything. Here's one. What's the funniest or worst thing you've had to yell at your kid about?
Urine accuracy. My boys, I don't know if they're well endowed or what, but, you know, urine accuracy. Because from time to time, and by the way, it's always charity that discovers the urine inaccuracy.
The women always do.
And she goes from 0 to 100.
It is
not tolerable in our house. So I don't know what it is. Like they're peeing and they're like, hey, what do you know? Their attention is diverted. Squirrel. And they like turn and then pee all over the wall and stuff. But it's like aim. There's a little circle right there. Okay?
Doesn't matter.
Aim in the circle. But anyway, urine accuracy.
I don't think you get aim really ever. I mean, you get a little bit better. I'll go in the toilets here, and there's people that have peed on the wall. Like, dude, you're a grown-ass man sitting in here in at your job. Like, how are you missing the toilet? But yeah, all the boys have the same issue with that. For me, it's over, like, putting too many clothes in the dirty clothes. Kane's one of those kids that he'll have on play clothes at home that you're not doing anything but sitting in your room playing video games, and he'll throw those in the dirty clothes. Then he'll put on, you know, clothes to wear at night to go to bed in his pajamas. He'll have five outfits in the dirty clothes, and he hadn't left the house all day. And I'm like, dude, I am tired of washing your clothes.
We've had the same conversation with our boys. It's like, pick one outfit and wear it all day, and that's it. M.O.
Two of them. Either A, all right, put some underwear. Stop shaking your booty at dad. That's
what they yell at you for.
Stop shaking that and stop singing. I have a songbird in our house. Everything she does, she sings. And it's actually pretty cute. And you're like, I'm trying to watch Jeopardy. Stop singing. And our mistake, we give her a microphone for Christmas. So
you should encourage her. She may be paying for your retirement with those dulcet tones.
Kane is a hummer. He'll be at dinner going, like, dude, would you shut up? I do not want to hear you hum the Star Wars theme again.
Y'all are haters, man.
No. Preacher man, you're always yelling at your kids.
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, come on now. For Tyler, is basically, Tyler, where are your clothes? Tyler loves to be naked. I don't know why. He's been that way since he's a baby. All of a sudden, you'll turn around. And
he's an exhibitionist, man.
He's stark naked in the house, and he could care less. That's it. I'm just like, where are your clothes?
He'd be a big hit at the nude beach, you know?
He'd be a big hit somewhere.
Hey, Rick, this one's for you. Who was the most difficult co-host you had to work with outside of me? Who did you have the most fun with?
Well, hold on a second. Here
just
or
in general?
I mean, oh, God. TV or radio?
Yeah, anything.
All right. I'm going to say this with all due respect. It's not like I don't like this guy, but the toughest analyst I worked with at NBA TV was Eric Snow.
Okay.
So I'll just leave it at that. And I don't want to touch the radio thing.
Who's the most fun?
You, John.
No, he said outside of me.
Oh, outside of you, Jamie Dukes.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. You're my boy, though.
I hope so. What else do we have back there, Paul? You wrote down a couple, didn't you?
Yeah, we got one. It asks, have any of you guys ever ran out of gas?
Yes.
Yes.
Not in a long time.
It's been a while.
But yes, and it just sucks. It's the worst.
I actually ran out of gas pulling into a gas station.
See, that's not too bad. You just
literally had to push the car to the pump.
That's not too bad. I ran out of gas about a mile from a gas station, then had to walk to the gas station to buy one of those little stupid jugs, put gas in it, walk the mile back to my car to put the gallon of gas in, then drive back to the gas. It's like a 45-minute ordeal for a gallon of gas.
All right, what, Sean Thompson's in here. What am I pleading the fifth on?
You don't want to answer the question on radio?
Which one? About what? Which question?
Your favorite.
Former employee.
Least favorite person to work with in radio.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going there. I'm not going there.
The real question is, what's your favorite boss that you've had, and what's the worst?
My favorite bosses: Rick Caffey, Terry Fox, Sean Thompson. Not necessarily in that order, but probably in that order. Scooter Vitino, Tara August, David Levy, Lenny Daniels. Should I continue?
No.
Adam Silver, David Stern.
Essentially, anybody that signs his paycheck.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's kind of
Danny Mizellis, Paul Hirschheimer. Should I continue?
Keep that one going.
And then, unlike any other.
Did you work with him?
I think I did a show or two with him. I can't remember, but I want to forget those.
All right,
hours.
Since we're doing Ask Us Anything, Sean, the least favorite show you had here at 92.9 The Game, Boss. That's you?
On the spot.
Mm-hmm. Least favorite show?
Yeah, least favorite show outside of this one, of course.
Careful.
Let me eat some cookies and think about
that. Okay. Write it down. We'll say it in your voice. All right, we're going to play a game
here. Sean Thompson, ladies and gentlemen.
That ought to be a lot of fun. This is called the Rick and John Super Bowl Drinking Game. I know a lot of people in Atlanta really don't want to watch this game. They will because it's the Super Bowl, but they're not going to have a lot of fun watching the
Just
Super
party
Bowl.
Part your face off.
Yeah, drink and eat some food and whatnot. So we're going to give you a drinking game we can play as long as you're in the comfort of your own home or you have a ride home. These are some things to listen for during the broadcast or watch for during the broadcast, and every time these happen, you take a shot. We'll actually put this up, maybe, at Rick and John 929 and at 929 The Game on Twitter. Rick, what's the first thing you're looking for the drinking game?
I mean, I got a lot. I'll just start here. Cutaways to Robert Kraft in his suite.
You'll be dead by the first quarter.
Exactly. You know they love the cutaway to the Kraft suite. So if you want to make that part of your drinking game, I would say have the Uber. Mm-hmm. Again, credit card information in the Uber app before you start partying. Then you can just go bloop, bloop. You're a couple of touches from home.
All right, mine is also going to be, this will be one that you'll probably get drunk pretty quick off of. Every time they make a 28-3 reference, you take a shot. Again, you may be dead by the end of the pregame show, but every time they make a 28-3 reference, you take a shot.
Mentions of Rob Gronkowski's concussion. Take a shot. Like, every time he's tackled, they're going
to
bring it up.
You'll be concussed if you continue to play that game. How about this one? Every time they show Carson Wentz on crutches,
good one.
You take a shot.
That's solid. That's at least three. That's at least three.
Yeah. I'm taking
the over on that
I'm
one.
Taking the over because I think if they're winning in the fourth quarter, it's going to be every three plays cut away to Carson Wentz.
Well, because he's going to be on the sideline with a headset on.
Going to have the headset on. He's going to be signaling plays like an air traffic controller.
And if they're getting blown out or beat in the second half, what if they had Carson? So it's going to play either way with
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. All right. Al Michaels singing Tom Brady's praises. I would like to say it more colorfully and in a more blue manner, but I can't. Because we're PG and the FCC is listening. So Al Michaels singing Tom Brady's praises. And it's not just, you know, Tom Brady with a terrific throw. I'm talking about where it goes into nausea about how great he is and what a comeback it was and what a human being he is. And he's 40 and the health and the training and he eats, you know, what does he eat? He eats twigs and rocks and sticks. I don't know. But, like, when Al Michaels goes out of his way to drop to his knees about Tom Brady, take a drink.
How about this one? Brady's shown cutaways to Brady's hand. Just cutaway.
Solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Hey, it's good for Under Armour.
It's at least
fantastic
five.
Fantastic free advertising.
Five will be in the first quarter. Look, he's warming up. He doesn't have ill effects of the hand. His thumb has detached on its own.
I wish.
Wow.
This one's going to be tough. You're going to have to really turn the sound up on your TV for this one. But indications from Chris Collinsworth that he's secretly pulling for Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know he wants his boy, Tom Brady. You know,
you're not going to have to turn the sound up very loud to hear that.
Exactly.
He'll be drooling all
but
over.
But, you know, you know, we talked to Tom, and he always said, okay, make that a drinking game. Every time he says, when we talk to Tom, okay, him or Al Michaels, because that will be, I'm saying upwards of 10 times they're going to name drop Tom Brady in the five-minute interview because they're boys. My guy. Anyway, you're going to hear indications that Collinsworth is pulling for the Pats.
How about this one?
Here's one from the 770 off the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. He says, take a shot every time there's a Dilly Dilly reference.
Oh, come on. I want to live. I want to be able. That's a great reference, but everything is Dilly Dilly.
I can tell you right now, the over-under, you know, we're doing like drinking game props here. Mm-hmm. This one, I think, might send people to the emergency room, so be careful. Drinking game on references to how cold it is in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's like minus 20 degrees right now
minus
with the wind chill.
Minus
7 this morning. It's like ridiculously cold.
Yeah, a buddy of mine posted a picture who's, I guess, Mickey Ryan, who we've had on the show, does Nashville radio. It was like the high today was like 17, but it was like negative something, and the weatherman was saying, oh, it's a warmer day today. He's like, I can't believe this guy just said that.
Here's another one from the Solomon Brothers Diamond Tech sign before I finish off my list. Every time the Eagles run an RPO, take a shot. No, 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 because you will not make it through the second quarter.
It's a little too technical, too. John and I are trying to stay away from the X's and O's this week because we hate this game.
So I like this one. Go ahead, Mark. You got one.
Leading into halftime, every time they mention Justin Timberlake and Booby Gate.
Oh, I already had it. That was the next one. I had it as Nipple Gate, though.
Sorry.
Because
I like Booby Gate better.
They are going to mention the wardrobe malfunction of Janet Jackson. He's back for the first time since he exposed Janet Jackson's breasts.
Now, hold on a second. I am saying there's not going to be a single nip-slip reference in the broadcast.
No chance.
I will take that bet.
You're a brave man.
They're not. Al Michaels is not going to mention that. I promise you. I promise.
Somebody will mention it.
Who?
Chris Collinsworth might mention it.
They ain't going there. I'm telling you. NBC.
I gotta tell you, last time JT was here, there are boobs everywhere.
I know broadcasting, that NBC vibe is the stuffiest of all the vibes. They're not touching it. One more for you. Bad calls in favor of the Patriots? Take a drink.
Again, you may be dead by the second quarter.
Apparently, Carson Wentz is not on crutches anymore. He has a cane.
Okay, well, the cane counts.
So we'll substitute the cane for crutches.
Last one. Anytime they make a reference to Donovan McNabb puking, you take a shot.
Good one.
You might be puking as well. We'll ask Steve Merrill about some of these. What's he taking the over-under with? And we'll talk to him about the Super Bowl props and everything else here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
And the game.
You have the Pats, right?
What?
Yeah, he's got the Patriots.
I do.
Patriots. Minus 8.
Reluctantly.
Right, Eagles win, you sing Jimmy Buffett. Patriots win, you sing Florida Georgia Line.
Fine.
Done?
We'll add that into it as
done?
Well.
Done?
You know what's great is the vigor that Mark has for this, and he's not even involved.
That's because he's not involved.
Exactly.
You're a fire starter, Mark Owens. We're back in the Kia Studios. We're going to bring in our boy Steve Merrill of Covers.com in a moment. I have one more drinking game prop. Every time a white Patriots receiver catches a pass, take a drink. And again, drink responsibly, because that's going to happen frequently on Sunday night.
I've got one from the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line that we have to bring up at 404-741-0929. Take a shot every time NBC shows a promo for that show, This Is Us.
Yeah, Mark and I were just talking about that back here.
You won't make it through halftime, I'm telling you.
You might not make it to the beginning of the game.
Did any of you guys watch the show other than Rick?
That show sucks more than Jimmy Buffett's music.
It's terrible.
Okay.
I've seen one episode.
If you have a body part that is on the outside of your body, you don't like that show. Do you get what I'm saying?
Boobs are on the outside of the body.
I was thinking a little lower, like below the belt.
Like toes?
This is a gender divide, this show. This show is a gender divide. If you're a female, love it. If you're a dude, you don't.
Because I guarantee you there is millions of men out there that watch that with their wives.
Yeah, because they're watching it with their wives.
They're just roped into it. They don't actually like it.
There's
it's
not
terrible.
Single guys sitting at home going, dude,
if you're listening to the show, call in.
Jarvis is married. Now, he's watching with my premises. There's not a single guy out there that goes, dude, I got to watch this.
Not one.
Or is it great research? If you are a single guy, but no, you're watching it, then you have something to talk about with the ladies.
It's terrible.
It could work in your favor.
You'd be better off getting in with the ladies saying, hey, have you heard the new Justin Timberlake album? Then This Is Us.
That would be my in if I was a single guy. Like, dude, that song Wave is awesome. We head out now on the WadeFord.com hotline. This guy's awesome. He's been with us all football season for a couple of years now. It's Steve Merrill of Covers.com. Steve, how you doing?
You know, guys, I grew up as a Redskin fan, and they win Super Bowl 17. And guess what show premiered after that on NBC that year, 1982? The first episode of the A-Team.
Really? How much cooler is that? You had the A-Team. We've got This Is Us.
I've still got that on a VHS tape. Super Bowl 17, John Riggins' winning run, and then the first episode ever of the A-Team came on right after that.
Steve, do you agree? You might have heard us coming in. Do you agree with me that it is a gender divide on This Is Us? Dudes, no. Chicks, yes. Do you agree?
Show, and it's funny because I've seen so much hype about it, obviously, because that's their big lead-in show here after the game. I was thinking, wow, maybe I need to catch up on the first two seasons on the DVR, but you guys just saved me literally like 12 hours of time. Seriously.
By the way, Steve, Super Bowl 17, I think the first time that as a youth that I actually shed a tear for a sporting event when John Riggins ran over.
That's right.
Yeah, one of the Blackwood brothers who were some of the worst safeties in the history of the NFL. But, yeah, thanks a lot for bringing up that memory. Really appreciate it.
And what's interesting about that game, and it ties into Super Bowls in general, the Dolphins had a 10-0 lead in that game, and they ran a kickoff back for a touchdown. And if you fast forward to the Super Bowl 22, another Redskins Super Bowl, the Redskins were down 10-0 in that game against the Broncos. They ended up scoring 35 points in the second quarter with Doug Williams. I think there was another return for touchdown in that game by Denver as well, or a big scoring pass maybe. So, you know, it just shows how these Super Bowls are so random, how you have big plays and how the team that leads early doesn't necessarily win. I know you guys know that all too well last year with the 28-3 lead with Atlanta, but it's just amazing how that happens year after year.
All right, Steve, we're going to get to some prop bets, but let's not bury the lead here. The line as we speak, and it was cool to have you on last week, and Steve, kind of talk about where the line opened and how the betting money came in and moved the line a little bit. I won't steal the thunder from you, but it appears to still be 4.5. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then has it changed throughout the week? Kind of talk to me about the flow of the point spread.
Yeah, when we talked last Friday, you know, most of the movement had already happened. And to be honest, it's kind of the quiet before the storm here for these last 5 or 6 days. But it'll start picking up tonight on Friday and throughout the weekend, obviously. And I'd say the heavy majority of the public action has not come in yet on the number. And that's what makes the line drop so interesting, because it opened 5.5 in most sports books Sunday night after the Eagle-Viking game. It quickly came down to 4.5 last week by the time we talked. And it's now briefly touched some fours this week, but it's pretty much 4.5 in most locations. Now, keep in mind, the look-ahead line before the championship games at a few sports books, an actual bettable look-ahead line, was as high as 7 for the Eagle Patriot matchup. It was going to be about 2.5 had the Vikings played the Patriots. It's going to be about 7 if the Patriots played the Eagles. Now, after New England's lackluster win over Jacksonville, the look-ahead line was 6.5 still when the Viking game kicked off. By the time the Eagles smoked Minnesota, it opened 5.5 at all the sports books, and it's now 4.5. And over 60% of the public consensus at Covers.com and other places that I look is on the Eagles. So the fact that the public hasn't really come in yet, I think this line could drop further. I think what we will see happen eventually on Sunday afternoon, though, is there'll be some sharp buyback on New England, because if you like the Patriots and if you're a big bettor, there's really been no reason to play it because you know that line's going to keep dropping. So will it hit four? Probably. The real question is, you know, does it get down to 3.5? I don't think it'll hit that key number of 3. That'd be a pretty substantial move because so many NFL games land on 3. Odds makers get very nervous with that kind of a line move.
Steve Merrill, Covers.com, our guest on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steve, Rick and I were having a philosophical debate for a show wager. Rick came on right after the championship games and said, Patriots in a blowout. I said, no chance. If you're, and you're obviously a guy that knows numbers, what's considered a blowout in the NFL?
Well, the Super Bowl has changed. You know, in the 1990s, anything under 20 points wasn't a blowout because those games were all just huge wins by the NFC especially, and the point spread never mattered. In fact, over the first 40-some years of the Super Bowl, it basically was the underdogs winning outright or the favorite winning by double digits in somewhat of a blowout. It has really changed over the last decade. I mean, there's a couple reasons. I think, first of all, we have more parity than we've ever had in the NFL. I also don't think with, you know, free agency, we don't have dominant franchises anymore like the Redskins I talked about or the 49ers or the Cowboys of the 90s. Now, the Patriots are pretty close. You know, the 8th Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But what's so fascinating about this New England franchise is that they've played closer Super Bowl wins than any team in history. Every one of their Super Bowl wins has been by 3 or 4 points, except for last year, and they needed overtime to win by 6. So that should have been probably another 3-point win at most. So New England's been the one team that's really bucked that trend of winning games but not covering. So I think if they win by double digits here, I'd consider that somewhat of a blowout, especially more than 2 touchdowns. And I could see that happening. I think the real X factor here is Nick Foles. He's been fantastic in the 2 playoff games. He's been better probably than Tom Brady. You just wonder, though, does he regress finally here on a neutral field in the biggest game of his career against the most veteran quarterback in Super Bowl history? If the Eagles and Foles play like they did in the 2 playoff games at home, Philly probably wins the game straight up. But I could see him having an off game. In that case, I could see New England winning by double digits.
Steve, I've got 31-16 Patriots over Eagles. So let's get to it, man. People listening are like, I want to find out which side Steve Merrill is on with the point spread and the over-under. So what advice are you giving your clients on covers.com?
Well, I mean, first of all, I do think the line was too high at 5.5. Even though my gut kind of tells me, you know, Foles might have an off game, New England probably finds a way to win. You know, look at last year. They're down 28-3. I don't want to, you know, I know the Falcon listeners, the Falcon fans know it all too well, but that's just a textbook example of the poise. And you know, we talked about it a few weeks ago, Rick, you know, with first-time starters in the NFL playoffs and how you said last year you didn't really think it was a factor until you saw the Super Bowl and some of those playoff games. And, you know, we've got the same issue here with Philadelphia. This is a team that's not used to being in the Super Bowl against a New England team that's very poised and knows how to win. But if you look at the numbers and the statistics, I mean, Philadelphia is definitely the better defense. If Nick Foles plays as well as he's been playing, there's really no drop-off between him and Wentz. He almost had a perfect quarterback rating against the Vikings, who are the best pass defense in the NFC the other week. But those games were at home. You just figure New England's going to find a way to win. So normally if you think they're going to win the game, you'd like them to cover. But as I mentioned earlier, they're the one team that really, the points spread really has mattered. I actually think you might get better value on the money line at like minus 180 as opposed to laying 4.5 or 5 points, because it could be close to the number. The over-under was 48. It's now up to 48.5. Doesn't surprise me. The public's going to be on the over. Super Bowls have a tendency to be higher scoring than average games. But one angle I always mention, if you do like the under, take a look at the early unders, like the first quarter. New England with Tom Brady has not scored a touchdown in any of their 7 Super Bowls in the first quarter, which is just an amazing statistic. And in general, the first quarter is the lowest scoring quarter in Super Bowls. I like the second half to be higher scoring than the first half. You usually have to lay half a point with that. We saw that play out last year in the Super Bowl. And then, of course, the Alabama-Georgia game, 13-0 at halftime. The second half opens up. Teams normally like to come out conservative. They don't want to make a mistake early in the game. And I think that's even more likely with Philadelphia this year being a young team in the Super Bowl. And as I mentioned, New England's always come out slow in the first quarter in their era.
Steve, our listeners love prop bets. We just did a Rick and John drinking game for things you could listen to during the broadcast or watch for. What's the most popular prop bets out there right now?
Well, I think right now, tails is 27-24 over the 51 Super Bowls on the coin toss, but I would stay away from that one, obviously. One thing I would say, you can't find this prop too much anymore nowadays, but sometimes, you know, you can find a variation of it. And I do think whoever wins the toss will defer, means they kick off first. Belichick does that basically every Super Bowl, and I think 8 of the last 9 Super Bowls that's been the case. There's some interesting props out there with the national anthem, as always. It was 2 minutes, 1 second last week when we talked. It's now up to about 202. So a little bit of money is coming on the over. And what's interesting about that is the average anthem the last 10 years has been a minute 58. But three of the last four have gone over 202. I think it'll be right around that number. Pink is from Philadelphia, so we have some props out there. Will she wear an Eagles shirt or hat? You get a 2-to-1 underdog payoff on the yes. Wouldn't think she'd do it, but apparently on Twitter last week she said, I'm so excited to be singing with the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So I think that's an interesting one to keep an eye on.
All right, Steve, what do we get more of in the Super Bowl? Do we get Al Michaels singing Brady's praises, or do we get indications that Collinsworth is actually pulling for Brady and the Patriots?
Yeah, I think, you know, Collinsworth is probably not my favorite announcer. It'll be interesting to see.
That's a push, right, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Foles has the underdog role, though. You thought maybe Collinsworth would pull for Foles as the underdog there.
He's got to kiss that butt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the one prop that might be the best bet out there is, do they show Belichick during the national anthem? I saw this at like 1-8 or 1-5 a few weeks ago. Now it's 1-13.
Wow.
And when those odds first came out, Brady was like 1-5. He's now 1-58. And it's funny because, you know, I saw those last week. I was like, that is free money. And I guess everyone else felt the same way.
Steve, great stuff. It's been a lot of fun talking to you throughout football season. We'll obviously have you back on when we get closer to March Madness and all that stuff. Great job. Make sure you check him out at Covers.com.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Steve Merrill, our boy, Covers.com. Oh, yeah. This music is so much better than the crap we would have been listening to.
This is Justin Timberlake?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
What I say
I thought
10
this
o'clock.
Was like Pharrell or something. I didn't even know.
I told you. I said, there's going to be songs you're going to hear and go, wow, that's JT.
I did not know that.
JT is awesome.
Every parent is thinking of one movie right now.
Yes. Trolls.
Trolls.
Yeah. Take a break. We come back. SEC, who has the most pressure as a coach, program, player? Next, 92.9. The game.
John had the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Graham McCullough's our boy. He is off, and it's our College Football Cheat Sheet brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. It's been pressure week for our college football question of the day. Each day we take a different Power 5 conference and we apply pressure to the coach, the program, and the player. We've been having a ball with this all week long. If you want to get involved in the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, please do. 404-741-0929. And I believe Mark Owens is going to play along today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with program, John. Program with most pressure in the SEC.
I could not narrow it down to one, so I have two teams
really?
That I feel are in very similar spots in their existence. Both are with new coaches. Both of them have fallen kind of by the wayside in the SEC East. It's Florida C or Tennessee. Florida and Tennessee. I think they are both the exact same program right now.
Give me those again.
Florida C.
Okay, I like
or
that.
Or Tennessee.
I like Tennessee better. I don't know. I like Tennessee better, but that's a pretty good play on words there.
They both wear their prison orange. Tennessee
is pretty good, right?
Yeah, Tennessee. They both wear their prison orange. They both have really bottomed out. I mean, you think about 10 years ago, Florida and Tennessee was the SEC East. Now they're both with new head coaches. Tennessee had the whole snafu with Schiano, who, by the way, might be the Patriots' new defensive coordinator. That's the rumor that he may interview for that job after Matt Patricia takes a job in Detroit. But Tennessee had all of that. They haven't really been that good. Florida fires a coach that wins two SEC East because he fakes death threats and all this other stuff. They're both in bad places, although I think Florida will ascend quicker under Dan Mullen.
I agree. Last year, Florida 4-7 overall, Tennessee 4-8 overall. But in conference, they combined to go 3-13.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they were Florida, Vandy, Tennessee. Those were the bottom three teams in the SEC.
And one of those wins was against each other because yep. Florida beat Tennessee.
But it's amazing. You look at the standings, you're like, I'm not used to seeing Florida and Tennessee like literally bringing up the bottom in the SEC. For me, program under the most pressure is UGA.
Okay.
You got there. You had the national championship, and you let it slip through your hands. Sorry, Georgia fans, for the reminder. I'm not trying to rub it in, but that's the reality of the situation. Now, get back. And to me, John, I want to say this right now, and it is February 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
The most important game of the entire college football season is the SEC championship game between Alabama and Georgia, because that game is going to happen. You can put it in stone right now. Georgia and Alabama will play in the SEC championship game. And I don't believe that this will be a year where the Big Ten and Pac-12 are shut out. So you're going to have to win that game to go to the college football playoff. That is a ton of pressure because Alabama, to me, might even be better this year than they were a year ago. And, of course, Georgia lost all the players that they have lost. I got Georgia with the most pressure.
Mark, are you worried about Alabama right now, or who are you worried about?
Austin Peay. Yeah. Got to get past. Actually, let me back up. Got to get past the G-Day game.
Yeah,
okay?
It's important.
Got to get past facing each other. I'm like you. I got a twofer on the program under the most pressure. I got LSU. I don't know. LSU and Auburn.
Well, they're both the Tigers, so
yeah,
it works.
The Tigers. Oh, yeah, there's the Tigers. LSU, come on, Ogeron. What are you doing, man? You were the darling. Everybody was proud to have you part of the team. You're finally home. Mm-hmm. What have you done? Went 9-4 this season. Yep. You lost in the Citrus Bowl. Wow, the Citrus Bowl to Notre Dame. You got to make a move in 2018. You've got to do something better. And same thing for Auburn. The other reason I have them in there, you're coming off of two losses. Gus Malzahn, well, I'll get to him in a second. He's my coach. And I'll go ahead and tell you why I'm coach. You can skip me on this one. I got coach as Gus Malzahn because after they lost the SEC championship, people were calling for his head. People were calling for your coach that just got you to the biggest game in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You lose that one, and now they're calling for your head after you just beat your in-state rival of Alabama. Gus Malzahn is the coach with the most pressure, and I have Auburn and LSU as the program.
Well, LSU is going to start 0-1, so the pressure is really going to ratchet up for Ed Orgeron after they lose to Miami in Dallas. The thing with Gus Malzahn and Auburn, here's what's interesting. Great year last year in the SEC title. They finished with four losses. So for as great as the year was, and it was, you were one win against Georgia away from playing in the playoffs. They finished the year with four losses. There's not a person in Auburn, Alabama that's happy about that.
Well, to me, Malzahn is my coach with the most pressure, and for all the reasons that Mo just said, but I want to take a different tack on this. I look at the SEC, and with all of the coaching changes, there is one coach who might be on a warm seat this year. It's Gus Malzahn.
I think Ed Orgeron's already on one, too.
I don't agree with that because he would be entering year two as a full-time head coach. I don't think LSU would make that move that quickly. I could be wrong about that, but I think the hottest seat in the SEC is Gus Malzahn. Like you said, you beat Georgia and you beat Alabama and then lose a couple of games and they want your head. Give me a break, man. So I say Gus Malzahn, most pressure for a coach.
Most pressure for me, simple. 10 years and $75 million for Jimbo Fisher. You're not there to win 9 games, and you will not have a buffer in Texas A&M. They are expecting national championship quality coaching out of Jimbo Fisher. They're expecting immediate results out of Jimbo Fisher. You gave the guy 10 years and $75 million. I think Jimbo Fisher left a better job to go to Texas A&M. He left a school that has actually won national championships in the recent past to go to Texas A&M, who's probably at best the second best program in their own state, maybe third if you count TCU right now. Jimbo Fisher's got to win immediately. I think he can get by this year with 10. They're expecting him to be at the top of the SEC West sooner rather than later.
All right, my player with the most pressure on him is Jake Fromm. And it's all about expectations. They are already completely out of control. He is top 5 in Heisman odds in Las Vegas. Let that sink in. Does that sound right to you? It's asinine. He didn't have nearly the stats last year to even approach this. Is Georgia going to sling the ball 40 times a game next year?
No.
So I don't agree. I'm not even convinced Jake Fromm will be under center to start against Austin Peay. I think Justin Fields is coming for his money, and I think Justin Fields will be given a shot to take his money. So the most pressure to me is Jake Fromm based on the out-of-control expectations, John, and also he's got Justin Fields to look over his shoulder at.
And we have a philosophical difference on that. It's Jake Fromm's job, in my opinion, and maybe it does end up happening where Justin Fields comes in and competes for the job. The guy to me with the most pressure goes back to what you guys talked about with Auburn is Jared Stidham. Stidham, when he was good, Auburn's offense was great. Kerryon Johnson's gone now. Your bell cow. Cameron Petway's gone. Your second running back, and granted, he had some injury concerns a year ago. Stidham has to be the guy that puts that offense on his back. We've seen through time, when Gus Malzahn has a good or great quarterback, they have a good or a great offense. When he has a quarterback that's mediocre, they're 7-5. They can ill afford to be 7-5. It all falls on Jared Stidham.
I'm going to the dogs as well, but I'm going Justin Fields. Justin Fields has a lot of pressure on him this year because what are you going to do, buddy? What are you going to do if Jake Fromm continues to be the superstar that he can be? Are they going to redshirt him? Are they going to keep it on him? What happens if it gets pulled? Are you going to force Fromm to compete for this job? Because the last time we've heard this much hype about a quarterback coming into Athens...
It was last year.
Who was it?
Jacob Eason.
Jacob Eason. Justin Fields right now. Now there's already questions. People are saying, well, he may transfer before the season starts. He's not going anywhere, but he better battle and he better fight Jake Fromm for the starting position. I don't think he'll get it, but there's a lot of pressure on him to be the strong number two.
I like it. So John doesn't think that there will be a competition. He thinks it's Fromm's job. I am convinced and promising everybody listening right now that Kirby Smart is going to have a competition between Fromm and Fields. Which side are you on, M.O.?
I think Jake Fromm's your starter. I think they're on the hunt for Cameron Cooper, another guy. They're looking at a couple of quarterbacks to bring in that they're trying to recruit. My opinion, I think they should redshirt Justin Fields, let him watch, let him learn the playbook, have a three-star quarterback as your backup just in case something happens to Fromm, pull Fields' redshirt in the case of an emergency, but let him sit and watch and get to know the system. I think Fromm is going to be your starter on day one.
And I can promise you this. Justin Fields will not be wearing a red shirt this year. I can promise you all that.
It'll be interesting to see how they play that out if he doesn't win the job, which I don't think he will. Do you red shirt him to kind of split those two up because you want to burn years with Justin Fields?
I understand that it's in the best interest of the program to red shirt him, but if I'm Justin Fields, and you remember, so it was Georgia, right? But then it was kind of opened up a little bit. You had Jimbo Fisher. You had some other coaches kind of swooping in and trying to get him to flip, right? If I'm Justin Fields at that point, I go to Kirby Smart and I go, are you going to redshirt me? And Kirby Smart says no. And I say, is that a promise? Because I'm not coming here to redshirt. I'm a badass. I need to play right now or at least be given a shot to compete for the job. If I were Justin Fields, that's how I would have handled that.
And you know what I do if I'm Kirby Smart? Sure, not going to redshirt you. You will absolutely be able to compete for the job. And in the back of my mind, yeah, that's fine. I'll let him get practice reps. And then I'm going to do what I want because I'm the coach. Because what's going to happen?
But you wouldn't redshirt him then because that's dirty pool.
If I had a chance to redshirt him, I would.
Even if you promised him before he agreed?
Dude, you get guys to sign.
Bro,
period.
That's bad business,
it's
man.
What happens
Come
in college football
on.
All the time.
You can't lie to kids, man.
They do it all the time.
Well, that's not right. That's not right. I thought you were better than that, John.
Not really. Dude, I will redshirt.
Disappointing.
When I used to play college football on the PlayStation, I would tell a kid in a second, you will start. I would redshirt the hell out of your rear end.
He was a video game character.
In my mind, they were real.
Not the future Cam Newton.
In my mind, they were real people. They're still real to me, Rick. EA Sports, bring the game back next year. Randy McMichael, we'll talk to him about redshirting. We'll talk to him about the Super Bowl. We'll ask him if he wants to participate in any of the drinking games that we have laid out. That's all next.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.